We needed the ladies on that song for sure.
We needed that.
A wretch like me. Let's see. A wretch like me. All right. I'm still trying to figure out how to read the scripture and look at people at the same time because this operation ahead, but we're getting there. So, Friday night we had our sports night. Thank you to the Summit Church for letting us use their gym for free. That's very nice of them. We had 50 people, including a bunch from Fresno and Sacramento. That was great. And turns out the basketball was tied. The soccer was no contest. No contest. And the main volleyball went to like 23-23 tie, and they beat us 25-23. So that was pretty good. Nice balance there. Everybody has, you know, there's Kavina going up for a slam shot there. Just, all right. So we've been doing a series of lessons from the book of Deuteronomy. There's a rumor that a member of our church was grumbling.
No.
Because he said, we've been spending too much time in the Old Testament, and I wanted to spend some time looking at Jesus.
Okay.
You know what I said to that? Good point. Good point. Because I was going to do Joshua next. Because we're finishing Deuteronomy today. But instead, I could do 1 Peter.
Oh.
And then Joshua. So that grumbling brother wasn't really grumbling. He knows who he is. He was just saying he wants more Jesus. That's a good thing. All right. Huh? It was you, yeah.
I do. I love Jesus.
That's all right. So, Deuteronomy, the theme of Deuteronomy is covenant love. That wonderful Hebrew word, hesed, which is translated as loyalty, faithfulness, love. So basically, God is appealing to his people through Moses, I have loved you. I've made a covenant with you. I've been faithful to you, and I'm just asking you to do to me what I've done to you. And even in the admonitions, for example, to take the poor, care of the poor and the slaves and the foreigners, basically God's saying, I'm asking you to behave the way that I have behaved. Our theme passage in Deuteronomy, the Shema, perhaps the most quoted Old Testament passage in Judaism, perhaps, I think probably is Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And God is asking us to do that. All right, so last week, I don't know, I preached the sermon, but I thought it was a pretty good sermon. It was pretty convicting. And God is calling us, because in Deuteronomy 30, Moses is kind of summing up what he's said, essentially. He's bringing it to a close, and he says he's asking us to do two things. Number one, to love God with all of our hearts. And we say, with all of our heart?
All of our heart.
He says, yes, all of your heart. And to walk in full obedience to him, obeying all of his laws. We go, all of his laws? That's impossible. Might as well ask me to climb Mount Everest. By the way, I saw in the news this morning, some guy skied down Mount Everest. He climbed Mount Everest with a pair of skis, and then he skied down it. That guy's crazy. That guy's nuts. It's true. They filmed it.
Right.
I don't know if he chose his path there, but have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah. Or a better example then, since some people can actually climb Mount Everest, might as well tell us to go to Mars. But then in verse 11 in chapter 30, he says, what am I asking you to do, which is to love God with all your heart and be fully obedient to him. He says, it's not too hard for you. It's not like you have to cross the sea or go into the heavens. In fact, in verse 14, he says, it is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. And then in 15 through 18, he says, here's the choice I'm putting before you. Life and death. Blessings and curses. pretty stark choice that God is putting before us this morning. And you would think any sensible person would say, life!
Yeah, bless you.
And yet, most people don't. Because if you do not choose, then you chose.
Yes.
So then we ask this kind of a fun question. So how do we do this? Do we act our way into a better way of feeling? Don't worry about whether our heart's there, but just start doing the right thing and our heart will come along later on. And that doesn't work very well. They said, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll feel my way to a better way of acting. In other words, I'm not going to bother to even try to do the right thing, be a hypocrite. I'll just wait until the feelings come. But then in verse 19 and 20, Moses says this. In fact, let me actually read it. This is such an important verse, at least in my mind anyway. He says this. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He says, now choose life. So God is calling us to choose by faith to sign up to that covenant and to put your hand to the plow. Then he promises you that he will circumcise your heart. And he will help you to love him with all your heart and to obey him fully. Which brings us to our sermon today. All right. Deuteronomy 31 verse 1 through 8. So here, these are Moses' parting words. He basically already summed up his entire message. That was Deuteronomy 30. That was last week. So now he's kind of leaving some parting thoughts. This is for Moses kind of like Matthew 28. 18 through 20, something like that. All right, so let's read verses 1 through 8. Then Moses went out, and he spoke these words to all the church that was here this morning, the Merced Christian Church. It says, I'm now 120 years old. 120 years old. I was trying to get a picture. I typed in my Google search, Moses very old, and I couldn't find a decent picture. This is the best I could do.
Okay.
Moses really is like this, you know. I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, those Girgashites and Hivites and Hittites and Jebusites and all those ites. He will destroy those nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what it did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you. The Lord will deliver them to you. And you must do that to them all that I've commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So Moses says, I'm 120 years old. And it says here, I'm no longer able to lead you, but that's not what he says literally in Hebrew. He says, I'm no longer able to come and go. Basically, is I'm not mobile anymore. I can barely even get around. My body is breaking down. And besides, God has told me I can't enter the promised land anyway. You know what? I was feeling a little bit like Moses on Thursday. Here I am up at Merced College, a 70-year-old guy.
What?
And Cassie was working and Josh was working. It's like just me sitting at this table. I'm like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's, why would anybody want to talk to me? And I was feeling it. I was feeling old. You know why I was feeling old? Because I am old. And I don't know, I think I was feeling maybe a little bit like Moses is feeling right here. Like, he's like, I am tired out. You know what? God's almost doing me a favor to not have to cross into the promised land. I'm done. And then, just several people came up. We had three brand new visitors. And then some of you met Robert on Friday night and Fabian. And Fabian said, I want to become a Christian. I want to study the Bible. So God said, amen, God. Thank you. So like Moses says, like God says to Moses, be strong and courageous. And he says in verse 3, you know, it doesn't matter that I'm not crossing. Because guess who is crossing the Jordan River? God is crossing the Jordan River. Of course, he was already there, but, you know, sort of metaphorically. And brothers and sisters, we need to remember, if God is with us, it doesn't matter who else is with us. Now, in some ways, it does matter. We need each other.
Yes.
Of course. Let's read Hebrews 13:5. By the way, in Hebrews 13:5, the writer of Hebrews is quoting Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. But he adds a little bit to it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered to go to this passage because it's already there. Hebrews 13, verse 5. So this first point in our lesson today is you need to be encouraged for good reason. All right? Let me see. Keep your lives free from the loan of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. For we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And what can mere mortals do to you? They could fire you. They could, but the chances of that are so small. As American Christians, now in other countries, that's a thing. That's a real thing. All right. What can man do to me? Because God is crossing overhead to me. And then he says, you know, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Amen?
Amen.
In fact, let's just say that together. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
Amen.
Back to Deuteronomy 31. Those mere mortals, of which I'm one. And he says, by the way, it's pretty obvious that people need to be encouraged right now. And I kind of felt that a little bit this week. Even this morning I was feeling that. The people need to be encouraged. He said to him, dudes, he didn't actually say dudes, but he said, you know, I took care of Sihon. And Og, I took care of Bashan, I took care of the Amorites, so if I could take care of them, do you think I could take care of the Girgashites? Or the Hivites?
Yeah.
You know, common sense says that is possible. And, you know, we came here 3 years ago and there were three of us, okay. You know, God's done a few things.
Yeah.
Do you think he could do a few more things?
Absolutely.
I think he could. Alright, he's gonna bring the visitors and the baptisms and the changed lives and the fixed up marriages and all those kind of stuff.
Amen.
Right? So God has taught us in verse 6, you know what? You flat out need to be strong and courageous. Okay? You need to be strong and courageous. And then he says again, guess what? You need to be strong and courageous. And I think he says it three times. By the way, when you get to Joshua chapter 1, he says, you need to be strong and courageous. And he says it, I think, four times.
Okay.
Why? Because the Lord marches before you. That's like Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right?
Mm.
Go make disciples of all nations. Wow, that's a daunting task right there.
Mm.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then just teaching them everything. You know, but then he says, and I will be with you always. So if Moses were here today, he would say to you this morning, be strong and courageous and do the work. Because God has already gone before you. All right, point number 2, Deuteronomy 31, 9 through 13. Moses is going to have 3 points. First two very encouraging. The third one, actually, not so much, to be honest with you. All right? But we read the encouraging and the not so encouraging. That's one of our practices around here. We read the whole Bible.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Moses wrote down this law, and he gave it to the Levitical priests. What law did he write down? Well, it's Deuteronomy chapter 1 through chapter whatever, including the Song of Moses, which is going to come up next. Okay. I gave it to the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, in the year of canceling debts, during the festival of tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, children, and foreigners, residing in your town so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of his law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it, and they must learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess. All right, point number one, be strong and courageous. Point number two, stay in the scriptures. Read the law. And he says to them, listen, right? Listen and learn. So, how was your week this week of listening and learning? Let's get practical here. Cassie's not looking up. All right. All right. I'm trying to do the whole stare down. Friendly stare down. Friendly stare down. All right. How'd you do it listening and learning this week? And because that's another admonition. All right. That's pretty simple. And by the way, I found that that's the oldest known Ten Commandments, and it's not the one that was in the Ark, but it's a copy of the Ten Commandments kind of carved into that rock. So let's put that there. Okay, good. Point number three, verse 14 through 18. Okay. By the way, he said to Joshua in verse 8, "Never will I leave you or forsake you." And then he kind of backs up on that a little bit, starting in verse 14. Ooh, so let's read that. The Lord said to Moses, "Now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua, present yourselves at the tent of meeting, where I will commission him." So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. Okay, great. Then the Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood over the entrance to the tent. This is a pretty dramatic scene here. They're standing, all of a sudden, this pillar of cloud, the presence of God, right there. I just spit on my Bible. And the Lord said to Moses, "You're going to rest with your ancestors, and these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they're entering." Ooh, ouch. And the people he's talking about were standing there, standing around. "They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them." Remember, that's the theme of Deuteronomy, is don't break the covenant. Show covenant love. "And in that day, I'll become angry with them, and I will forsake them." Now, what did he just said, like, 9 verses ago? "I'll never forsake you." Now he's saying, if you do this, I will forsake you. That's confusing. All right. I'm in the middle of verse 17. "I will hide my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and calamities will come on them. And in that day they will ask, 'Have not these disasters come on us because our God is not with us?' What did God say just a few verses ago? 'I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to go before you. And I will certainly hide my face in that day because of all their wickedness and turn to other gods.'" All right, so point number three is, but we need to maintain covenant loyalty. We need to be faithful. It's not like this is a done deal. This once saved, always saved teaching that's taught in many churches today is that ain't in the Bible, the one that I read, the one that's actually written here. Right? In fact, let's go to 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. Same idea. 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. Okay. It took me a while to really get, and I'm not even completely sure I'm utterly, absolutely understand what God's trying to say here. But one thing I know is it's pretty serious. All right. So 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we'll also live with him. We get an amen on that one.
Amen.
If we endure, we'll all reign with him. But if we disown him, he will disown us. However, I'm adding the however, it's not in the Greek. However, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. So God's never going to break covenant. Right? That has said, that covenant, loyalty, and faithfulness, God will never, ever, ever back off on that. But basically saying, if you choose to no longer observe that covenant, then I'm going to turn my back on you. Okay, so I'd rather go for Deuteronomy chapter 31, point 1 and 2. All right? I'd rather go with, be strong and courageous because I'm going before you and you will take the land. And only make sure you read and learn the scriptures. But if you don't, this is to say this is a solemn warning is to understate. All right, back in Deuteronomy. All right, 31. In verse 19 says, now write down this song. So the rest of our sermon, pretty much the rest of our sermon is, we're just going to do a poetry reading. Have you ever been to a poetry reading? I've never been to a poetry reading. To me, they seem boring. I don't know. A poetry reading. Sit there and have something. I can just read the poem at home. You know, why go to a poetry reading? But we're going to have a poetry reading. I'm going to skip verse 20 through 29, in which basically what Moses does is he said what he said in verse 15 through 19, and he says it like three other ways. Like, if you turn to idols, I will be jealous of that, and I'm going to forsake you, okay? All right. And then he gives this is one of the most famous psalms in all the Bible, but it's not in the Psalms. It's here. And by the way, there's another psalm of Moses that's actually in the Psalms. And there's also Deuteronomy 33, which is another poem of Moses that I'm just not going to cover today. But this is that very, very famous song of Moses. All right? So I'm going to be making comments, yes. But honestly, I'm going to mainly just be reading. Okay? So, starting in chapter 31, verse 30, I'm going to read through verse 4 for now, and I'll just take it in chunks. And Moses recited the words of this song from the beginning to end in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel. And again, this is a very, very dramatic scene here. Because what's going on in the background? That column of flame at night and smoke, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And Moses, 120 years old, in the next hours, he's going to go up Mount Nebo. Boom. Got it? Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth. I'm sorry, chapter 32, verse 1. Is that? Yeah, okay. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like the dew. Like showers on new grass, like abundant rain and tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His words are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. So Moses says, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. I'm going to praise him. He is always faithful. He will never change. He is a rock. And one thing about rocks is they don't change very much. He can't be moved. He is always faithful. All right. Now 5 through 14. Is this the way you repay? I'm sorry, verse 5. They are corrupt. So it's like God is speaking to Moses and he's pointing at the crowd and he's saying, they're corrupt. Sorry, I mean, you just happen to be the crowd. I'm sorry. I can point out there, but you know, I'm not saying anything. I'm especially not our visitor who never met before. I'm definitely not going to call you corrupt. That'd be terrible. All right. But I'm just trying to dramatize the poem. Okay, got it? All right. They're corrupt and not his children. To their shame, they are warped and crooked generation. In this way, you repay the Lord, you foolish and unwise people. Is he not your father, the creator, who made you and formed you? Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. In other words, he put Israel at the heart of the earth, and he prepared a place for you. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, his allotted inheritance. God says, I chose you. Hanai, I chose you. In the desert land, he found us. In a barren and howling waste. Which was exactly my life before as a Christian. He shielded us and he cared for us. He guarded us as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young and spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. The Lord alone led us. No foreign God was with us. He made him ride in the heights of the land. He blessed us. And he fed us with the fruit of the fields. He nourished us with honey from the rock and with oil from the flinty crag. Pretty awesome. With the curds and milk from the herd and the flock and with fattened lambs and goats, with choice rams of Bashan. And the finest kernels of wheat, you drank the foaming blood of the grape. Yeah. You know, we're prone, unfortunately, in our earthly, fleshly nature to repay evil for good. God, he's our creator. He gave us life and we tend to forget it. That's just the way we are. And so God's reminding us of what he's done for us. And we need to remind ourselves regularly. Right? The Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, praise be your name, right? He found you in a desert land. You were in an arid and desolate lifestyle without meaning. I appreciate Pierce's comments. And his welcome. So we should be reminded what he's done for us. He brought us to the heights. He led us. He gave us honey from a rock. Not literally, but you know, it's like that. Have you ever seen honey come out of a rock? But that's what God did with your life. He gave us curds and lambs and goats and fine wheat and fruit from the vine. But we better read verse 15 and 16, okay? Jeshurun, that's a poetic term for Israel. It's, you know, there's all these, you know, Zion and Jeshurun. That's a strange one. I don't even know the history of that name, but it says they knew.
Right one.
Jeshurun, is that what it means?
Yeah.
All right. That's
it. Oh,
thank you. I should have read the side note. I better research on my sermon there. But anyway, Jeshurun, Israel, you grew fat. and you kicked. Filled with food, you became heavy and sleek. I think that sleek means kind of greasy or something like that. I don't know. You abandoned the God who made you and you rejected the rock, your Savior. You made him jealous with your foreign gods and angered him with your detestable idols. You sacrificed the false gods, which are not God, gods that you had not known, gods that had recently appeared, gods your ancestors did not fear. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and he rejected you because he was angered by his sons and daughters. And he says to us, if we choose to reject the covenant and not love him with all our heart and hold fast to him and obey him, he says, I will hide my face from you and see what their end will be. For you are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful. Now you can say, that's not me. That's about the worst thing you could say. Because that is you outside of God. So you took the name Christian, but you gave your heart to idols of all sorts. Idols you'd never even heard of. You made up idols. I mean, brand new idols. I mean, AI, that's a brand new idol. How long has the idol of AI been around? A couple of years, you know. And the AI of VR. I'm sorry, the idol of VR. Virtual reality. And I'm sure the next few years, there's going to be other new idols. You know, you're just looking around for idols. And the gesture when Israel's saying, who are you talking about? But see, God knows our heart. And again, I'm not accusing any individual person right now of doing this. God's saying this will be you if you do not keep faithful covenant law. That's what he's telling us. Because that is our nature. And God knows our nature even better than we know our own nature. He said, you continue to be religious, but according to God, you completely abandoned the rock. You abandoned your creator and the one who chose you. Verse 19, these are not good words. The Lord saw this and he rejected us. He gave us over to the idols. Romans 1:24, it says, God gave them over to the sinful desires of the hearts. In other words, we said, I want the idol, so God says, go for it. As my friend Mark Wilkinson said, how's that working for you? He says, you want it? You got it. In Romans 1:24, Paul is basically quoting Deuteronomy 31. The worst thing God could ever call us is unfaithful children. People that broke us in. All right, by the way, we're going to end on an encouraging note today. We're going to end on a very, but I'm just reading the scripture. A little quiet in here, you know? All right, Deuteronomy 32, we're going to skip down to verse 28. Because it's more of the same. It's like, I just can't keep reading it. They're a nation without sense. Oops, time to go to the next slide, right? They're a nation without sense. There is no discernment in them. They're stupid. They're a bunch of knuckleheads, which is what all of us are outside of God. Without sense, no discernment. If only they were wise and would understand the obvious truth that we have put before you, life and death, blessings and curses, and please choose life. If only they were wise and would understand this and discern what their end will be. How could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless the rock had sold them? Unless the Lord had given them up? Talking about the 10,000 that were put to flight. For their rock is not like our rock. And he's not talking about the rock. Yeah. You know, that's a joke in the rock.
Yes.
Yeah. For their rock is not like our rock. As even our enemies concede. Even they figured that one out. Their vine comes from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are filled with poison. Their clusters with bitterness. Their wine is the venom of serpents. That is those idols, the deadly poison of cobras. That's what some of us are messing with secretly. And again, I'm not looking at anybody in particular. If this applies, it applies. But in the group this size, there are people for whom that does apply. That's just the way it is. And God says to us, how foolish. No sense, no discernment is anybody who chooses idols over me. And did they forget the miracles I'd done? I mean, your pipsqueak army went up against this huge army and they all went scattered. Did you think that was your awesomeness that did that? You know? You went out and shared with somebody and, you know, Josh shares with Julio. Next thing you know, Julio's life is totally changed. Here he is. Amen. Did you think that was because you're so impressive, Joshua, that did you think that? I mean, could one person have chased 1,000 and yet that's what happened? How about two chasing 10,000? But that's because I was with you and I had abandoned them and that's just how that's going to work. So this is a great memory verse. I suggest this. For their rock is not like our rock. As even our enemies can see, they kind of secretly know it. That's pretty cool. So we're getting to the encouraging part of our sermon. Aren't you glad we're getting to that encouraging part? So let's read verse 36 through 40. The Lord will vindicate his people. And he will relent concerning his service. In other words, yeah, that was going to happen. That was the road you were going down. But you came to a fork in the road. You said, you know what? I think I'm going to go right instead of left. And you said, I'm going to choose life. All right? And then this is for you. He says, when he sees their strength is gone and that no one is left, slave or free, he will say, now, where are their gods? The rock they took refuge in. The gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices, not literally, but that's how they thought about it, and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you. Let them give you shelter. Now see that I myself am he. In other words, I am. Yahweh. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand. If I lift my hand to heaven and solemnly swear, as surely as I live forever, when I sharpen my flashing sword, my hand grasps it in judgment, I will take vengeance on my enemies. Verse 43, rejoice you nations with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his enemies and make atonement for his land and his people. God says, I am he. There is no other God but me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 says, I will bring you to life. I will heal you. I will deliver you. And then in verse 40 says, I swear. All right? I swear. All right? And by the way, when I taught Hebrews, I was wrong. I said there's only three places in the Bible where God says, I swear. First one, Genesis 22, when Abraham offers his son, God says, I swear. All right? Then in Psalm 110, verse 4. Says, I swear, you're a priest forever, the order of Melchizedek, talking about Jesus. Then it's Hebrews 6, where he says, hey, I swear, there's an anchor behind the veil, and Jesus is there speaking for you. But there's a fourth time in the Bible he says, I swear. It's right here. When God says, I swear, I mean, it's like, why would God bother to swear anything? I swear by my name, as if he even needs, what he's saying is, you got this. This is as for sure as the sun coming up tomorrow, probably even more sure than that, actually. I will make atonement for my land and my people. Amen?
Amen.
That's pretty good stuff. All right, so we're finishing up here. Just a couple cleanup stuff here. Rejoice, you nations. Verse 45 through 47. I'll read 44 through 47. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun. I already told my joke, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I already told that joke.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, well, it doesn't work anymore.
All right.
Did you know that there are three people in the Bible who had no parents?
No.
Yeah. Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
Eve. And Joshua.
Why Joshua?
Son of Nun.
Oh boy.
I never told you that joke. I did, okay. A long time ago. Right. That's one thing I liked about being a chemistry professor, because you get new students every semester. I could tell the same jokes every semester. I could recycle them infinite number of times. That's great. You only had to have about 10 jokes. Yeah. Anyway. Alright. He says this. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words I've solemnly declared to you this day, so you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them, you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. They are not idle words for you. They are your life. All right? He's referring, I guess, to the sermon he just preached. But I'd apply that to the Bible. So we got two memory verses today. Because their rock ain't like our rock. Uh-uh. And these are not idle words for you. They are your life. By then you will live long in the promised land. Amen. 34, 1 through 5. We're skipping Deuteronomy 33 just for lack of time. So we're going to just basically epilogue. We're now in the epilogue. The epilogue of Deuteronomy. All right. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. And there's the scene, by the way. I've actually been at that exact spot. And it basically, you're on Mount Nebo. See those little things? It's like, over there is Bethlehem, and over there is Jerusalem, and Nazareth. And you can see the whole promised land. That's the top of the Dead Sea. From there, you can just, right? Because God said, I'm not going to let you enter the promised land, but I'm going to let you see it. Got it? All right. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, Gilead in the south, Dan to the north, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, all of which you can actually see from Mount Nebo, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I'll give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And imagine you're Moses. God says, Moses, you need to climb up that mountain. He was not exactly feeling like climbing a mountain, you know what I'm saying? He's not feeling like, kind of like Jen by the time she got to the top of Vernal Falls a few weeks ago. It's kind of like that, only, you know. But a little bit worse. Because what's going to happen when he gets to the top of this mountain? He's going to die. God's saying, you go up that mountain, then you're going to die. Would you have gone up that mountain? I don't know if I would have gone up that mountain. 120 years old, maybe I would have. You know what they say? You know, the only person who wants to live 100 years old is the 99-year-old person. You know, they want anyway. So Moses willingly went up that mountain, knowing that he would lay down his life. I don't know if you remember, but Deuteronomy 18:15 says, God says to Moses, I'm going to send you guys a prophet like you from among their people. And one of the ways that Moses is like Jesus is that he willingly gave his life. so that the people could enter the promised land. I don't know. That's, to me, that's sort of cool, actually. At least in one sense, Moses is like Jesus in that God's wrath fell on him for something pretty small that he'd done there at the waters of Meribah. Moses gave his life. He walked up that mountain knowing that it would be his last. And he handed the leadership over to Joshua. Jeshua. Jesus. It's the actual name. So, Deuteronomy 34, 10 and 12, and that'll be it. Since then, this is literally an epilogue. This was probably written hundreds of years later. Right? This little section is probably written like several hundred years later. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did inside of all Israel. Well, that changed, didn't it?
Yep.
Jesus!
Yeah. Amen.
A prophet like you. So to summarize, there's never been a prophet like that except Jesus. God wants us to take the promised land. And for us, the promised land is here. He tells us to be strong and courageous. Why? Because he's already there. He's already working. He's doing stuff, even when you're feeling discouraged. Says, but don't become spiritually fat. Don't go back to your idols. Because if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Says, God's going to go before us. He's our rock. He gives life. He heals. He delivers. And he swears that he will make atonement for his people. But interestingly, his final words is, don't forget these words right here. They are your life. Okay, so that's it. Zane, take over. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Call up my song leaders, please. This is the portion of our service where we shift to focusing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we prepare to take communion, or the Lord's Supper.